KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910, but I've got lots of great guests this first hour of the show. You can also email me at Monica at 991fmtalk.com and make sure you check out all of those podcasts at 991fmtalk.com. Also, proudly welcoming into the family 92.3 FM Smith Valley and Yerington. And speaking of family, it's all about family with my girl right now. She is celebrating anniversary of the Carson Nugget in Carson City. One of my guests at 10:30, so make sure you stick around. It's Megan Barth, otherwise known as Reagan Babe. What are you doing down there?
Hey, Monica. Well, Carson Nugget is launching the 50 plus today. We've got a bunch of people online signing up for $10 free play if they sign up today. They are introducing, the Nugget is introducing every Sunday and Tuesday, the 50 plus senior drawings today. And every Sunday and Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., you could win up to $100 each drawing. 50 points will get you a $10 food comp. And check out these food specials: $2.99 Double Eagle breakfast, $4.99 pulled pork sandwich, $9.99 prime rib dinner. I'm going to get myself that. Triple points, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can come see me for some great prizes. We got free tickets to the comedy club, free coffee, and lots more at the Carson Nugget.
And you know what I was always afraid about, Megan, is when I started radio, they always said that there was someone younger and hotter and more professional than you, always waiting in the wings and coming up behind you. And so I guess the only thing I get out of this is, since I'm over 50 now, I can go to the Carson Nugget.
That's right. You can get a $10 food comp. You can get a $100 drawing and the breakfast. And I'm getting that prime rib for $9.99, girl.
They need to charge you double because you're way too cute and way too young for that 50 plus. So, hey, you join me at 10:30. We're going to talk about voter fraud down in Vegas and see how we're going to fix all this whole situation for 2020.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, you have fun with people at Carson Nugget. Now, Megan's only going to be there until 11 o'clock, so if you want to meet her, if you didn't get a chance to do that at Carson City's Freedom Fest, then you go talk to her now at Carson Nugget because she is absolutely awesome. She's literally been an activist for everybody since she came out of the womb, basically. So, Reagan Babe, You knew how it was. Instead of your mom playing Mozart and all that, she'd listen to political talk. All right, girl, we'll check back with you at 10:30.
Sounds great, Monica. Thanks so much.
Thank you. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open, like I said, at 9910 because we've got, do we have the music, Dan? Do we have his special theme song? I think we can get that out here real quick.
I'm sorry, I was doing something else. What'd you say? I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. For our special guest, we have that special song. So we're going to kick that
out. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
You know, when we play that song, Eddie Lorton is popping in, and that is literally what he is doing, is just popping in today to point out some interesting things that we've been talking about for quite a while but haven't been done until now. Are we getting people paying attention? Are people saying things? What is going on? My guest right now is Eddie Lorton. Eddie's only going to be here until 10:30, so if you've got a question for him about the city or property rights, things like that, make sure you get it in right now. Eddie.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for me being able to drop in this morning.
I get a text this morning. Hey, yeah. I got to talk about the city. Can I come in? Absolutely.
It's a quickie this morning, but I was over looking at the agenda and stuff like that, and I see a few things on there. I did want to point some things out to where, you know, when we were running on our planks of our platform and our 2022 plan, that was the plans we were trying to accomplish by 2022. And it was published over a year ago, but I've been talking to him about selling property for over 8 years, wrote the city a property disposal program with policies, went down the list to repurpose, and that's why I support our police, but they could have repurposed property and saved the $8 million on building that building. by buying the Gazette Journal property and use that $8 million towards, and it's $7 million, plus it'll be about $1 million in remediation from the mold and asbestos, but they could use that money for more towards the building as well and save the taxpayers some money while they're at it. While I was looking through there lately, you just put it together. I see now one of my main planks were we needed to build the new police station. They've deserved it. They've had the same one since the 40s. Mm-hmm. They've needed it for a long time. So I'm glad to see that going through. I just had a problem with...
Well, and not police station, police headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
so
we have little substations
yeah,
all over
yeah,
the
we have substations. And yeah, they needed a new headquarters for a long time, and it's glad to see it's coming to fruition. But the only problem I had was the way they did it and wasted that money, but I'm just glad to see the police getting what they need. And now lately on the city agenda, I've also seen now all of a sudden they're proposing infill development. That was one of my main components because it's the cheapest form of development. I wasn't for uncontrolled, irresponsible growth like they've approved certain developments on the outskirts where they don't have infrastructure, they don't have police, fire, sewers, things like this. And that's what costs the taxpayers more.
Okay, but let me call you on the carpet here, because what is on the agenda? Are they actually selling the properties, or are they deciding? Because when I had when I had the CEO from Builders Association of Northern Nevada in, mm-hmm. he was telling me about the hoops and everything that the developers have to go through and the timeline of some of these things. Like, I just found out the Zalesi project, mm-hmm. Autumn Woods, yeah. that is going in. That's actually been in the works and going back and forth and mm-hmm. whatnot for like 7 years.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Well, there's certain things.
Like, so could this stuff have been in the works?
No. Okay, this is how it is. And call me out anyway. I wrote their property disposal program. We'll get to the facts. And that is certain developments have been approved. Those aren't city-owned piece of property, for one. Okay, those are like the Southeast Connector. They claim it was in the works for 10 or 15 years and finally got approved. That wasn't city-owned property except for the golf course. So I know the ins and outs. But on the infill development, I was claiming they could sell off city-owned properties, do infill development. It's quicker. You have police, fire, sewers all in place. Plus, the city gets rid of the liability and doesn't have to pay the insurance on those empty pieces that are deteriorating. So that was my point. And on those, there are other approved projects and stuff like that, but those aren't city-owned pieces by any means. Okay. So what I proposed was selling off city-owned pieces, because not, you know, some certain open space, but we own the ballroom down there that some of the casinos are using for free. That's a giant piece of property that could be sold off, and then we're not paying on the bond servicing debt. We could sell that, apply that towards the new police station, stuff like that. And so... that's on this Wednesday's agenda, finally. I've been preaching that for over 10 years, and I just wish that they would listen to the public, because sometimes they have constructive things to say, and then in turn sometimes, that's why what I always say is, if you can't beat them, join them, then beat them. So there's a point where no common sense doesn't exist in politics, and then you have to run for office, when if they were listening to some of these creative things sometimes, because the public... sometimes it's dialed in pretty good, but instead of getting ignored.
That's my biggest frustration, is when people get up and they walk out of the meetings, when certain people come up and they don't listen to the ideas that are so good. Kind of mm-hmm. like, well, they didn't get up and walk out, but kind of like this Kenny P. gentleman who mm-hmm. has been talking about and going on some different stations now, after he came and talked to me, by the way, uh-huh. Was the fact that, you know, hey, let's control wildfires by getting these target shooters, you know, time at the range that yeah. they deserve, that we pay for.
Yeah.
And that is a great idea. And I'm just wondering how long it's going to take to get people to listen and pay attention to stuff like that.
Yep.
Because we keep shutting this stuff down. And we don't... Let me make this example. I learned this just this weekend from going to Driver's Edge, mm-hmm. which is a nonprofit organization that teaches kids real-world driving, how to come out of skids, how to correct if you've overcorrect, things like that that you do not learn in driver's education.
Yeah.
There was a horrible accident down in Las Vegas. Two young women were killed, and another lost one of her legs coming back from lunch in Las Vegas. They went out off campus for lunch, and they weren't really doing anything wrong. They weren't speeding. They weren't reckless driving. They weren't doing anything like that, which people always like to say, oh, well, it's a teenager. What do you expect? But they weren't taught the proper lessons of how to react to sudden situations. Mm-hmm. Hit a pole. Tragic. But I think there were 5-6 kids in the car. So what do they do? What does the city and the county and Clark County do instead of coming up with a way to teach kids how to drive in these unsuspected situations? What do you think they did?
Probably close the Burger King.
No. Close. They shut down Open Campus.
So you can't leave.
So you can't leave during your lunch, right? Because somebody thought, oh, well, this will keep everybody safer. No, it won't.
Yeah.
You're putting kids out on the road after taking, you know, a driver's test, after you're taking a classroom test.
Well, they want to do blanket laws because of a few accidents or this or that, like this shooting in Gilroy. How sad.
Oh, but you know they, that's coming on
but
Nevada.
But now they want to push the fact that they bought a gun here. You can't control one idiot. Cars kill more people, like we just discussed, than anybody.
Yeah.
Are they going to outlaw cars next, steak knives? I mean, it's like this, the bottom line. Guns don't kill people. People do. So that's what the first thing they attack. They look for an opening, and it's sad. And that's why more armed people could have went after the guy even quicker. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you know, it's
went to a gun-free zone, cut a hole in a fence to get in.
They look for gun-free zones.
This guy had a motivation and premeditation to do this.
Yes.
So yeah, I did get an interesting email after the last time you were on, as we talked about the RGJ building is prime real estate, their riverfront property or anything like that. And they said, how is that prime real estate when there's a garbage company across the street?
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, riverfront property is riverfront
yes,
property.
Yes, it is.
Put the maintenance yard towards that guy.
And now if they want to talk about that, we also gave the waste management another prime location next door that was supposed to be their recycling plant. So we gave them for like little or nothing what they do, the city. They put it in the redevelopment agency so they can give it to their friends without going to public bid at a cheap discounted rate. So they gave that other piece that is directly across to waste management. They were supposed to build a recycling plant there, and guess what? They didn't, and they just expanded the one thing, so they kind of stole the piece for a reasonable rate, and then they didn't use it what it was intended for in the beginning. So, you know, it's all these little things that come together.
If it were a Republican with dark hair or something who wasn't, you know,
no one gives me stuff for my business.
Connected with all of the bigwigs in town, you know they'd be up for, you know, oh, they'd be,
yeah.
Public would be pointing this out constantly. All right, stick around. I got another segment with you. KKFT, talk lines are open if you'd like to ask Eddie a question. 884-9910 or Monica at 991fmtalk.com. We'll be right back after this on 99.1 FM Talk.
Who let the dogs out?
So he said,
that's just, I love that. It's just so perfect.
Art.
We've got our own watchdog, especially when it comes to the city of Reno and misspending or maybe fixing a few problems. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. So welcome to the family, 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. Make sure you always call in your concerns or shoot me an email. Yeah, I like this so I can research stuff. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Let's get back to that RGJ building.
Yeah.
So do you think that since it is smarter mm-hmm. and it saves money to build from the ground up, I mean, isn't that the whole reason that we knocked down that beautiful Mapes? Because people said that, oh, it'll cost a fortune to get in there and, you know, redo all this. Do you think that they might in turn just bulldoze the RGJ if they get in there because there's asbestos, there's mold, there's, you
ink
know,
spills they have to remediate.
Chopped up building.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. They could do that, but they see everyone's watching. So they're at the point to where once they get in so deep, they'll spend more to do what they said. Sometimes, you know, you don't. That's why you have to evaluate it from the beginning. This city, by repurposing a piece of property like it was in the property disposal program, could have started from scratch, did a state-of-the-art facility, which I support the police getting a new headquarters and station. They already know that. But it could have been a state-of-the-art facility from the ground up instead of piecemealing this building with all these problems, taking it off the tax rolls when they already own real estate, which you'll see on this agenda item. Let's go through it. They're building a police station like we suggested. They're doing infill development like we suggested, cheapest, fastest form. And then where they're selling the properties off, but they're going to use that to like pay for this police station. But the thing is, they still could have saved that $7 to $8 million once remediation's done that would have gone towards the building. Plus the Pennington Foundation is putting in $5 million. All that money could have been spent right off the bat on this new state-of-the-art facility instead of piecemealing a building. And you know what, Monica, on a couple shows ago, I want to thank you for having me on. And we talked about, because now I think there's light at the end of the tunnel because they're doing some of these things we suggested. But I also see they didn't give the Caranos that bus station downtown, and they pushed hard. They had Jessica there, all of them, employees pushing for that for free. And like we'd mentioned, they should give that guy a chance that was going to do affordable housing, and that's what the council did. So I think now when you put the pressure on, I'm hoping we can turn the corner because I want the best for the city. It's not all about attack all teeth or anything like that. I just want them to do stuff that makes sense for taxpayers, and there's other ways to do these things than like agenda items that are pushed on you. And when you're not really doing the research and how you're successful in business is you listen to people in the different fields that know more than you do. And you're there to make good, sound decisions for the people and taxpayer.
Do you feel like, or do you think that they feel like they're being watched now?
I do. Well, there are certain things they're turning around on, and some of these council members are awfully quiet. But now, like I told you, coming up to, there's this $55 million they want to sell in city bonds that are going to pay for this sewer system out here that's going to be for some of the developments going in that the developers should be paying for. So there's still going to be some things getting by, and that's why I still come from time to time. But what they could expect out of me would be this. You know, when I'm not going, because I'm taking a break right now, we're in the private sector doing things, it's hard to overcome your passion to help people and when you see certain things that are wrong. So what I'd want in the perfect world is them never having to hear from me again, because if they're doing it right, they won't. So there are some good things from time to time, but you know.
All right, if you want to get rid of Eddie Lorton, then start paying attention.
Yeah, do it right.
So, and I hope this doesn't turn around on the police and on law enforcement, because unfortunately, you know, when the building is done, when the overruns come through, when the taxpayers realize from $26 to $36 million now, because they don't know what it's going to be.
And it could be even more.
And it could be even more. Yeah.
But
people, the taxpayers will blame the police, and you can't.
No.
Because I am with you. They deserve a new building.
They do.
Technology has changed, and we have to keep up with it. We have to give the tools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say, well, why don't you have this, you know, these computers? And it's like, because their building and their infrastructure in that building can't support all this new technology that's coming out.
Well, that's why that is a great point you made. And that's the fact that, you know, this council's the ones making the decisions on how to do it, where to do it. They do get input from the police on where they think, you know, it's needed, and they like to be, you know, in the middle of the downtown core. A lot of arrests go on there. A lot of things happen. And so, you know, you need, once again, they're the experts on our security and safety. So you listen to them on what, but that's why I wanted to ground up building, because they know what they want, what they need more than anybody. So, but at least please don't blame the police. They're the ones we got to support. But I feel they wasted $7 or $8 million that didn't need to be wasted in the first place. And then we're on piecemealing a building then from the ground up. So it is what it is. I support our police, but at least a few things they're trying to implement now and claim it as their own, which makes me happy, because it doesn't matter who gets credit. Let's get that straight. What matters
but
is they do stuff that's positive.
It doesn't mean that people can stop watching.
We
have to keep going through these agendas. We have to keep going through, most importantly, the staff reports, what's being sent down, because you know, the council people aren't boots on the ground going and checking all this stuff out. It's these staff reports that all this information is coming in. So you've educated a lot of people on how to get involved and how to start paying attention.
Yep.
And I even had one gentleman ask, well, how do you go to a council meeting? Just go.
You show up. You fill out a blue form if you want to talk. Yeah. So you can be more effective than you think. If you know, that's why it's discouraging. Sometimes, you know, certain people go for certain things and then people want to complain, but they don't show up for a council meeting. It's so easy. I know it's during the day and it's tough. Okay, that's what they count on. They don't do the meetings at night. That would be better. There could be more public outreach, which they don't want. Yeah. But the thing is, you go to a council meeting, you can fill out a blue form, you have 3 minutes you can speak. So sometimes that's why I kind of became a verbal machine gun. You got 3 minutes, you got to get it all in, and then you can speak 3 minutes under general or 3 minutes under each agenda item you want to, and people don't know these things. So you fill out the form, you have 3 minutes on a general complaint or whatever you have, or a comment, or thank you.
I think at the next meeting we should just go down and ask a few of the homeless people, will you come to a Reno City Council meeting with us, and just pack that council meeting with the homeless and let them get their, you know, forward.
Well, you've seen on the last agenda, though, how they cut that thing out and called it divisive, and that was actually enforcing the law.
Yeah.
So there you go with that.
That's what you do.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Eddie Lorton, our very own watchdog here for the city of Reno. Where's your watchdog? I want to start hearing from Douglas County. I want to hear from Lyon County, Story County. Because if you're not telling us the problems so we can start holding people accountable, well, it's just business as usual. KKFT, it's the Monica J. Show, and it's time for Fox News on 99.1 FM Talk. And just so you know, neither myself or Reagan Babe cut that line. We want you to share. We're happy when you share. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, also now proudly heard in Yerington and Smith Valley on 92.3 FM. Hey, it's going to be a hot one today. It's gorgeous. So what better than to head on into the Carson Nugget and enjoy that air conditioning? And, well, speaking of hot and heating things up, let's check in with a very hot superstar. I'll just say it. You know, it's Reagan Babe. She carries the moniker with pride, and it is so true. So what's happening at the Carson Nugget, Megan?
Hey, Monica, I'm so excited to be here. We've already had some people come in. They heard me on the radio. I'm over at the Carson Nugget. And every Sunday and Tuesday, the Carson Nugget is launching 50-plus for seniors. Senior drawings today from 11 to 5 p.m. You could win up to $100 for each drawing. 50 points will get you a $10 food comp. And check out these food specials, $2.99 Double Eagle Breakfast, $4.99 Pulled Pork Sandwich, $9.99 Prime Rib Dinner. You can't beat that. Triple points, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can come see me. I'm seated right next to the Winners Club for some great prizes. I'll tell you what, if the next person comes off the road, comes into the Carson Nugget to see me, I either have a $25 gift certificate to, what is it, the Glen Eagle, or a Evans Broadcasting baseball cap. So that'll be for the next lucky guy or gal that comes into the Carson Nugget to sign up for free play for the Nugget 50 Plus. They'll be doing this every Sunday and Tuesday, but I'm only here today.
That's right, until 11 o'clock, so check it out. And, you know, people should feel special because Jerry doesn't give those baseball caps just to anybody. I don't even have one.
So I got one left.
You need to go down and get them because Jerry doesn't get all kinds of stuff like that for us to give away.
Cool.
Will you stay on the line with me now that you've talked about Carson Nugget? Let's do this. Megan, I am still getting people who doubt the fact that there is illegal voting going on, especially when we see the numbers come out of Clark County. And it's hard to dispute it when the state itself doesn't actually come out and say, you know, we've had this, we've caught these people, these numbers have been checked into. What's going on down in Clark County?
Well, you know, each county obviously has its own registrar. They handle their records a little bit differently, much like Clark County. And, you know, Clark County is the hub of the union, very powerful, SEIU, as well as Culinary Union 226. A number of employees are not legal citizens. And then, of course, all of the activist networks like Plan Nevada, Battle Born Progress, all the 501c3s and C4s, primarily funded by the 1% progressive liberal Democrats like George Soros, they are signing up voters. And if you recall, when I was in Carson City last week speaking at Freedom Fest, an activist by the name of Astrid Silva, who is a dreamer, so she's an illegal alien. She was brought here by her parents across the Rio Grande when she was four. She tweeted out July 6th prior to the ICE raids, encouraging illegal aliens to vote, or excuse me, to register to vote, encouraging dreamers or DACA recipients to vote. The curious thing is that not one state checks for the citizenship of registered voters. So if these people register, there's really no way that the state can check and cross-check in order to remove these people from the rolls. Also, dreamers can have Social Security numbers under the DACA executive order. So if they're using Social Security numbers to register to vote and no one's checking the citizenship of registered voters, they're not cross-checking whether or not that number is a legal and safe record or a valid record for citizenship. So those who doubt that illegal aliens are voting, I would say prove me wrong that they aren't. Prove to me that they aren't voting, and you can't.
How do we change that? What do we as citizens, not only of the state of Nevada, but as American citizens, have to do with the state to get them to start checking these rolls? And not just for people who are dead, for people who are actual illegal aliens in this country.
Well, again, there's not one state that checks the citizenship. Now, oftentimes, each state will be met by lawsuits from the ACLU, from La Familia Vota, from the League of Women's Voters, et cetera, all of the radical left-wing groups denying them the opportunity or limiting or inhibiting the opportunity for them to cross-check those rules. It usually is under the guise of privacy. But what we really do need is not only a voter ID law, which I believe that the state party has looked into and whether or not that will go forward. It's going to take funding as well as resources in order to gather signatures in order to get a voter ID on the ballot. I tend to think that's actually the better route to go than, say, a recall effort. But that's my personal opinion. Without ID, we really don't know who's coming to the polls. We don't know if they're voting twice. We know that basically anyone can vote at any time, anywhere, and that Democrats just passed same-day voter registration and same-day voting. So, you know, here we go, making the rolls even more difficult to check. And they purposely do this. The Democrats purposely do this because they know they can get away with it. They know the loopholes, and they know how to exploit those loopholes in the system.
Well, and our legislators don't seem to be doing any good for us, because we've had conversations in the legislature numerous times about voter ID. So we just need to put this on the ballot and have the people vote.
Right. And that isn't a significant effort. You know, we would expect immediate lawsuits to be filed, of course, if, you know, this initiative were to present itself. So it's going to cost, you know, I've heard $2 to $3 million to get this initiative off the ground, and then you have to collect a certain amount of signatures for it to even make the ballot. The Democrats will fight this every step of the way because they don't believe that people of color are smart enough to have IDs. I guess they believe, of course, having an ID somehow is racist as well. So, you know, we have to expect the legal challenges from the left, because they always will file a lawsuit in order to inhibit any sort of election integrity or security in our system. So, you know, right now we have an issue. Even Pew has put out that there could be, you know, 10 million illegal aliens on the voter rolls. Let's not forget that California is removing 5 million inactive voters from their voter rolls as we speak, which I think will impact.
So if you have, those are just people who have been, you know, on the sidelines. They don't want to get out. If you are inactive, you've got to register to vote. If you've moved, check your locations that it is still in there, that you're still receiving stuff, and participate. Because until we get this fixed, the government's not going to fix this for us. And that's what just upsets me the most, is all of these lawsuits that have to be filed. It's our money. There's no such thing as government money. This is our money fighting for our rights, for laws that should already be in place and protecting the American citizen. And your vote is the most powerful thing you have. What is the atmosphere?
Go ahead.
What is the atmosphere in Clark County? Because everybody in the North, you know, has this assumption that, are there any Republicans in Clark County? I mean, it seems to be all Democrat-controlled.
Well, it is Democrat-controlled. It's Harry Reid's backyard. It's the union's playground. And between those two forces, they have basically unlimited funds as well as an unlimited reach and unlimited power. They're going to fund the candidates and make local races very expensive. They're going to be able to make a phone call and get, you know, 100 to 200 activists out walking precincts. They can get their buses lined up. They can bus in people from California, and they do. We witnessed the buses coming across the state line, you know, showing up at the Stratosphere. Supposedly all of these people, including illegal immigrants, which was printed in the LA Times, were coming across the state of Nevada supposedly just to get out the vote. So we do have foreign interference in our elections. We have illegal aliens that are campaigning for Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. They are signing up voters. They are working the phone banks. I have pictures of all of them doing it. They are not under our noses in the shadows. They are basically giving us the middle finger while they are signing up voters. How do we know that they're not on the rolls? We don't. I mean, there is no honesty, or there is no, what is the word, amongst thieves. Yeah, if they've already broken the law by crossing our border illegally, do you really think they care if they wind up on the voter rolls? Specifically, if they've been here 20 years, they don't have any intention of becoming a citizen, because obviously after 20 years, they're doing just fine without having citizenship. So, there is no honor amongst thieves. That's what I was. So we can't expect our voting system right now, our registration system, our election system is based on an honor system, an honor system.
Yeah, and like you said, there's no honor among thieves.
That's right.
We need to start fighting back on their level, and we need to start busing Nevadans, you know, northern Nevadans to southern Nevada to start watching all of these things. And you know, I'm sorry. I'm okay with playing games. I have a Border Patrol hat. I have an ICE hat. I will show up places and wear these. And if people, you know, have any honor, then they won't go in to that voting area and pull those triggers, or not triggers, pull those levers and use the little electronic voting. We have to fight fire with fire, don't we?
We do. And, you know, we have to, I believe, really guard the election booth just as we would protect our own house with a lock on the front door, you know. So we really have to be the, you know, keepers of the ballot box. We have to make sure that, you know, we volunteer and sign up to be a poll watcher. We need poll watchers. Most of these people, if you've gone to your polling, if you don't, maybe you absentee, but if you go to the polling booth like I did for the last election, a majority of them were liberal Democrats, and I was just simply there to vote. I was asking a lot of questions, and I was very curious. And the answers I got were, of course, your typical liberal Democrats. Do I need ID? No, I don't need ID. What if my signature doesn't match? Oh, that's okay. There's nothing to protect our vote, because if one person who is not legible votes, that cancels our vote. So, you know, yeah. I've heard a lot of talk come from the Secretary of State's office, whereby people have claimed that there isn't voter fraud, there's voter registration fraud. Well, how can you have one without the other? How can you have one without the other? So,
how can we have a Secretary of State that is a great Republican, supposedly, and not be battling this? Nothing's being done.
No, you know, I've submitted actually quite a few complaints to the office, and they've been very, very responsive in their responses. However, for example, I had found at least a dozen people, and we found a lot more, signed up at this one UPS store in the Clark County Valley. And so they removed them all as far as residents. You can't be a resident at a P.O. box or a UPS store or a mail drop. They kept registering voters at that same mail drop, at that same P.O. box after I filed my complaint. There is no checks and balances within the system. We are relying on humans to input all of this data, and humans make errors. And so I keep finding errors. They keep cleaning up the errors, and then they keep making more errors, and it's just one conundrum after the other. Supposedly, there's $25 million that's going to go into some sort of, you know, system that, you know, may help solve these problems. But when you keep registering people at mail drops after I filed these black letter law complaints, because that's exactly what they are, they're black letter law violations, which is a huge no-no, we obviously have a problem. So, again, how are we going to just have same-day voter registration and same-day voting with a broken system in place? The system is opaque.
Exactly.
The system is broken. And I don't see any, I guess, gumption, if you will, or motivation to fix the system, streamline the system, and at least protect the system from, you know, human error.
Yeah. Why this wasn't done when the Republicans had the majority, I still don't know.
Because
stick around. I'm going to be right.
Tell you that voter fraud doesn't exist. And I can tell each and every Republican that says that they simply are ignorant to the facts.
Yeah. Stick around. Megan's going to be right back with me after we take this quick break. And you've just got a few more minutes. You want to go down and check it out? Talk to Reagan Babe in person. She's in Carson City right now at the Carson Nugget and giving away some cool stuff for their big 50-plus celebration. So she's only going to be there until 11 at the Carson Nugget. It's the Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show for all of Northern Nevada. It's 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open, and we will be going until noon, just as usual, 884-9910. But let's check in with Reagan Babe herself, all the way up from Las Vegas, Megan Barth, doing it live until 11 o'clock at the Carson Nugget, and for very good reason. You know, Megan, I have to tell you, I always thought, well, how come you get those special discounts when you're seniors and stuff like that? And now that I'm a senior, I'm okay with it.
I'm sorry, Monica, what was that?
That's okay. Go ahead. What's going on at the Carson Nugget today?
I'm having a senior moment. It's senior day. Every Sunday and Tuesday, the Carson Nugget just launched the Nugget 50 Plus. Every Sunday and Tuesday, they're going to have senior drawings from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. You could win up to $100 each drawing. Every 50 points that you earn while playing will get you a $10 food comp. You can even get a prime rib dinner with that 10 bucks, because the food specials they have are $9.99 prime rib dinner, $2.99 double eagle breakfast, $4.99 pulled pork sandwich, triple points 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you come and see me, you'll get some great prizes. They have free coffee, free comedy club tickets. And if anyone comes in just to say hi to Reagan Babe here, I'll give them a $25 gift certificate to Glen Eagle, or I will give them a Evans Broadcasting baseball cap, which is pretty cool. So Carson,
you got to support
11, but the Carson Senior Day goes from 11 to 5.
That's the way we do it. We support Northern Nevada, but we've got to be working on Southern Nevada as well. Let's go back to our conversation real quick here, Megan. And I feel that it is unfortunate that the feeling is out there, it will always be the North versus the South. And we need to fix that, because we have to be Nevadans. We can't be Southern Nevadans and Northern Nevadans. You have been an activist since you were very young. But for all the people who have been out of it, who have not been paying attention, who have just kind of slid on what the elected officials that they put in office did, how do people wake up and fight the fight?
Well, you know, everyone's got their trigger, right? For me to get active and off my couch and to really start paying attention to the political process and really what was going on was Obamacare. That is what, because that was going to personally affect me and my family. That was the impetus that got me off the couch. It might be voter fraud. It might be water issues. It might be tax issues, business issues. whatever the issue is a cause for you to get active. And I oftentimes hear, but I'm just one voice. Do you realize that one voice can change a whole entire, you know, city council? I've done that before. I was one voice, okay? And then pretty soon people started hearing my voice, and I wasn't on radio, okay? I wasn't on Twitter. This was before Twitter. I would call into talk radio. I would stand on the street corners with signs. I would go to city council meetings. I would do whatever I could do to, number one, get known and also, and get feared by the elected politicians. I wanted them to know who I was, and when they saw me coming, they could either run the other way like cowards, or they could address the issue that I had at hand. That saying, all politics is local, is so incredibly true, because we spend a lot of our time talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we've taken our eye off the ball of actually what's going on in Carson City, what's going on in Washoe County, what's going on in the Reno City Council, what's going on at the school board. Okay, if education is your impetus, get involved in the school board. You should know who's being elected there, what's being taught to the children, what kind of curriculum is coming down the road. You know, one of my, the biggest experiences I had was as an activist going, sitting in on a curriculum meeting for high school, and I don't even have kids. So it just really depends. You cannot think that you're just one voice. Your one voice could literally be the spark that generates the fire.
All right, Megan Barth, Reagan Babe, thank you so much for being with us today on KKFT.